What's up, my beautiful friends, and welcome to the Glow Podcast, where we discuss confidence, mindset, manifestation, and so much more. My name is Mariana, and I am here to help you banish your negative thinking and limiting doubts so that you can glow in all aspects of your life. Without further ado, let's get into today's episode. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Glow Podcast. How are you doing today? I hope that you had a beautiful weekend, super recharging, and you're ready for a new beautiful week. Today, I have a super interesting podcast episode for you, and it is all about relationships and about how maybe relationships can be toxic and how to change that so that you can have a beautiful, thriving, wholesome relationship. And maybe you're gonna have a lot of aha moments in this episode, because those are things that maybe you're doing that you don't even realize are detrimental for your relationship, because maybe you grew up seeing your parents do these things and kind of think that they are normal, where they're definitely not normal. Or I mean, normal is subjective, I guess. I mean, everyone has a different kind of normal, but I mean, they're definitely not beneficial for your relationship, and they're super interesting. So let's get straight into it. I, through my study of psychology, we had a topic on human relationships, and this was one of the studies that we learned about. And I thought it was so, so interesting. And then what was interesting was that one day I came home and I told my mom about this study that we learned about, and I was just so passionate about it. And she was like, "Oh yeah, I know them. I have their book and I went to their seminar." And I was like, "Oh my God, mom, you're always one step ahead of me with this self-development thing." So I thought that was funny, because it's definitely a well-known thing in couples therapy, and this man that created it and the book and the studies are definitely super well known and beneficial when just treating couples and couples before divorce, especially. Because let's just get into it. So research into relationships helps to predict which couples are more likely to build long-term satisfying relationships, and then which couples will build relationships that are full of conflict, that are unhappy, and then that lead towards divorce. So the psychologist that created it, called Dr. John Gottman, he actually said that he can predict which couples will get a divorce from like the first few minutes of talking to them in a session. That's how big this is. So the research has found that it's not the differences in the background, the age, or even opinions that make or break a relationship. It's the behaviors, particularly regarding how people communicate with each other, that influence the health of relationships. Isn't that crazy? This is what he called the four horsemen. And I'm sure most of you heard about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So this is a metaphor depicting the end of times in the New Testament. They describe conquest. they describe conquest, war, hunger, and death. And we use this metaphor to describe communication styles that, according to this research, can predict the end of a relationship. So that's where the name comes from. Four horsemen of the apocalypse. So what are these? Those four behaviors are criticism, defensiveness, stonewalling, and contempt. So since the 1970s, Gottman has studied thousands of couples in what is called his love lab, where he and his team watched couples interact and tracked their relational satisfaction. He had like cameras everywhere, and he would watch them and he would record them and he would see how they talk to one another. And through this research, they were able to distill the relational habits that make some couples like super healthy and like great, and other couples what he called disasters. And he found that when couples utilize criticism, defensiveness, stonewalling, and or contempt during their conflict moments, so during their difficult moments, they trigger what's known as the distance and isolation cascade. So this means that as a couple utilizes any of these four habits without successful repair over time, they will turn toward each other less and less to meet their connection needs, therefore eventually leading to divorce. So, like, of course, most people will use these habits from time to time in relationships. Like, none of us are perfect, and I hate to admit it, but I definitely sometimes criticize Axel more than I should, you know? So, like, everyone does that in relationships, yeah? But it's more of, like, if it's a regular thing, and if in a conflict, every time you turn to one of those four things, that's really where the trouble starts, you know? So the key is that we recognize their use, quickly make repairs, and work towards utilizing them less and less. And now I'm going to go more in depth with each of them because I find them super interesting. So criticism, number one, this is kind of straightforward. You know, it's the act of noticing a problem within your life or the relationship or the person you're in a relationship with, and then turning it into a commentary of your partner's character trait flaws. You know, you can catch yourself using criticism when you use the word always or never when describing something your partner does or doesn't do. And this was such a big thing for me. I don't know if you listened to the podcast where I talked about a relationship guidelines where I strongly recommend you to make relationship guidelines with your partner. Well, one of those guidelines was that I will not use the words always and never ever again when we have a conflict, because I don't know why, but this was just such a big thing for me. I would be like, you always do this, or you never help me clean up, and blah blah blah, but like, that's just so inaccurate. And now I can totally see how that is super hurtful to Axel, because then that completely takes away all of the times that he actually like did help out, or when he did things differently, because it's not always like that, you know? It's just like I make it in my head that it's always like that, and I use this big strong word, and to Axel, who's like super sensitive to words, this was just like a slap in the face. So yeah, we made a guideline in our relationship that I will not, like, when we have a conflict, I will not say always or never, because it's just not accurate. So yeah, back to criticism. Criticism is different from complaint. Issuing complaints is like normal and healthy, and it's part of the relationship. And if no one ever like complains, I hate the word complain. It's more of like bring up a discussion. That's a better word, I feel. But if like no one ever brings up discussions or arguments, then there will be a lot of unprocessed resentment over time. So the complaint, or like raising an issue, a discussion, that actually focuses on the actual issue. So that's different than criticism. Does that make sense? Let's see if I could give you an example. For example, if you walk into a messy house after a long day at work and you see a lot of dishes, you might notice yourself feeling like super angry and frustrated. And when you go to tell this to your partner, you might either use criticism or complaint. Or like, I'm saying complaint now because like it's a word most people are familiar with, rather than we in our family use the word raise a discussion, because complain just kind of feels like negative and like annoyed almost, like complaining, you know? But like raising a discussion is kind of like, it just sounds better for us. That's why we use it. But for the purpose of this podcast, I'm going to use the word complaint. So you come home from work and you're just like so angry, and you go to your partner and you're frustrated. Firstly, I'm going to give you an example of the complaint. You can say, look, I'm so tired at the end of the day, and it is so, so frustrating for me to walk into a sink full of dishes. Okay, that's like the complaint. Or you can come and you can criticize, and you can say something like, I'm so tired and you never care about that. You never care about my feelings, and you never think of that. You never think of what my day was like, and you just like always leave the dishes in the sink. I always have to do that. On purpose, I used my favorite words, never and always. I hope you heard it. But yeah, that's the difference between criticism and complaint. You can just see that the complaint focuses on the problem, which are the messy dishes, while the criticism makes the partner the problem. And then this is very likely to start a frustrating loop in which then your partner will respond to this with defensiveness, which is another one of the four horsemen. So then like you started it and then bam, your partner is going in with another one and then that will trigger yours and then it's just going to be like boom, boom, boom. Does that make sense? So yeah, you see, the use of criticism in a relationship is usually due to having unmet needs. And very sadly, like when you wrap those unmet needs in criticism, you're even less likely to get them met by your partner. And this is like one of the things that we need to realize when we go into relationships is that we're not going into relationships to get our needs met. Like the partner is not your parent. And I feel like that's something that I did in the past where I was just super broken and hurt inside and I would seek love and validation from my partners that I didn't receive as a little girl. But they can't give that to you. The only person who can give that to you is yourself. And I guarantee you, you're gonna feel super unhappy if you keep seeking it from other people because people won't give it to you. Really, the only person who can give it to you is yourself. So work on things. I hope that didn't sound too harsh. Sometimes I'm like so straightforward, you know, that like I don't put a lot of emotions in it, but I definitely feel for you, like if that's something that you're going through, because that was something that I went through. And the only reason why I'm being like, you have to do it for yourself, like maybe a little bit rough, is because like I wish someone told me that a few years ago and I would have stopped looking for this love from other people, because that just led to like being super hurt all the time and it was just like a constant mess. So yeah, that is criticism. And there's just so many ways you can change your communication and just like coming from you, you know, like, and communicating and maybe making a schedule if it's really dishes. Maybe you guys can make a schedule of like every alternating day, the other person does the dishes or whoever is at home that day does the dishes, you know, just like so it works for both of you. Really, communication is key in relationships. And there's just like beautiful ways to communicate where it doesn't hurt the other. Maybe you can say, you can say something like, when I come home at the end of the day and see the dishes in the sink, that's what you noticed. I feel, again, what you feel, tying it back to yourself, I feel so tired and frustrated. So here you're sharing what you feel. And then you can share what you need. So maybe I really need to walk into a peaceful environment. How can we make that happen? Yeah, and then you and your partner can come up with solutions. And both of you will be open to like finding solutions. If both of you are at work, then really seeing like if the alternating day works, or if you can get a dishwasher or something that would help you guys out, or if you can do it together, you know, but just like knowing that on Mondays when I come home from work, the dishes are going to be done because that's just what the plan is, you know, that just helps everyone, I feel like. Communication. Okay, number two, I already kind of touched on that one, and that is defensiveness. And defensiveness is a reaction to perceived criticism. Sometimes the criticism is actually there and sometimes it's simply a projection. Yeah, that's a big one. Because some people get defensive when they think that someone is criticizing them, whereas that person didn't mean it at all. And you're just kind of projecting your insecurities on the person of feeling like, oh, he probably wanted to criticize me, so now I'm going to get all defensive, even though that's not actually what happened. So that's another thing to think about. And when people get defensive, they might, for example, over-explain. For example, well, I would have done the dishes, but like when I went to clean them up, there was like no dish detergent. And then I went to the store and then I had to pick up the kids and then I did this and then I had to do that. And I didn't really have the time and then I had to do this and then blah, 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 over-explaining. Okay, that's one of the defensive strategies. Another one is taking on the victim mentality, such as, oh my God, you're always so mean to me. like, you hate me. Oh my God, I don't have enough time. Nobody likes me. Yeah. I'm kind of like over exaggerating all of those, just so you guys get the point, by the way. Then another strategy is counter criticizing. So that is, for example, I will start doing the dishes when you start taking care of the lawn better. You are always ignoring that. Yeah. So you respond to criticism by another criticism to kind of like protect yourself and protect your ego, but then you like completely hurt the other person as well. And then the last one is using the word but. So like, I know the dishes are a mess, but like, can you like not worry about it? Like, I got it. Like, just like, don't worry about it. You know, like, but something. Like, I know you told me to do it, but I didn't want to. So yeah, that's another defensiveness. And there might be a good explanation. Maybe the person is being mean to you, and maybe you are right, and they never clean up the dishes. And perhaps it is true that if they just chilled out, they would be happier. But like, communication is key, guys. Again, and if you become defensive, the other person will believe that their need has not been heard. So like, if I come to you that, like, I really, really need a peaceful, clean environment, and you respond like, oh, you always want me to do the dishes, then I'm going to feel like you didn't hear me and that we didn't find a solution where both of us are happy, you know? And that's just going to create more disconnection between the two of us. And it's actually going to make me want to criticize you even more. Like, you know what I mean? So there's a time and place to talk about your own perception, but it's usually like not in the middle of a heated moment like that, when someone makes an ask. You know, your position is less likely to be heard if you respond with it immediately in this way. Like, if you respond immediately with like a criticism of another person, I think the first person will not be able to hear it in this situation. It's really better if you're both calm and then you sit down and make a sort of guideline for things like that. So instead of getting defensive, try taking responsibility for your part. Even if you believe you only own like a little part of the issue, you can also try to validate their own perception in reality. The likelihood is that their perception is valid and that there is some piece of it that you hold responsibility for. And that can be really, really hard to admit, but it's really important for healthy functional relationships. So you could say something like, you're right, the dishes are a mess. You're validating their emotions. And then you can say, I didn't do them even though I said I would. Yeah, so you just like, if it was your job to do them and you didn't, then just validate it. But if it wasn't clear that it was like your job to do them, then you guys need to sit down and you guys need to make that clear. Because otherwise it's all confusing, like who does what, you know? So, third one, stonewalling. Stonewalling is exactly as it sounds. It's when someone in the conversation starts to act like a stone wall, or like there is a stone wall between you. And as the person experiencing the stonewalling, it might seem like the partner doesn't care about them. They will notice that their partner looks away, maybe even walks away actually, or ignores them, or remains silent through most of the conversation, and perhaps even crosses their arms across their chest, like becoming completely emotionally unavailable. And for the person stonewalling, it's likely that they are in a state of physiological flooding. That's what the term I have here in my notes is. Physiological flooding happens when the body detects a threat. So if you listened to my podcast about fear last week, this is one of the fears. And this is one of the fears I talked about, called going away. You know, you just kind of retreat. You're not there. It's just like your whole body is like, alert, 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 alert. You're just like, your body thinks it's in danger. So this means that our body will release stress hormones and we will experience a racing heart. And the parts of our brain responsible for relational behaviors actually goes offline. And the whole prefrontal cortex of your brain is just like shut down, and you cannot actually think rationally at this point. It's just like fight or flight. It's just survival instincts at this point, you know? And you lose that sort of empathy and problem solving and affection and things like that. So what's really important, if you notice yourself or your partner getting this, it's actually impossible to have a productive conversation. No, like I'm not even exaggerating, guys. It's actually physiologically impossible because the brain is just not working in the same way. It's just fight or flight. Or at this point, the person really thinks that they are in danger. So really the best thing to do at this point is to agree to have a break. And the person that is stonewalling really needs to work at self-soothing. So take about like 20 minutes. And then after 20 minutes, the stress hormones get out of the bloodstream. So maybe you can suggest to the person, or if it's you, to hug a pillow or to just like take deep breaths, take a walk, calm yourself, because your body is just under a big threat. And yeah, so it's just nice to have a 20-minute break. And that was definitely something in our relationship with Axel. I mean, he has changed completely from the beginning of our relationship, but we even talked about this in a different podcast where stonewalling was a big one for him. And he would retreat and he wouldn't even realize it, you know? And then I was just like so hurt by feeling like I was being ignored, but it wasn't something that he was consciously doing towards me. It's just like he couldn't help it. And then through self-development, he worked on it so much, and that's just not a thing anymore. So it's definitely something that you guys can work on, but I can imagine it's super stressful at the time. Yeah, and during this break, yeah, like I said, both of the people can work on self-soothing, but especially the one that is being flooded, like I said, just doing anything that's soothing, you know, just like, oh, I'm relaxing here. Because in order to self-soothe, you need space from the conflict. So try to not think about it or write about it or call your best friend to talk about it. No, like actually take the time to self-soothe. And then it's really important that the person who took the break, comes back to the conversation when calm. And yeah, just like returns to the conversation, doesn't just leave it, you know. This return builds trust within the relationship, because then it makes the other person feel like it's not just like all up to me. Like you can actually come when you're feeling better and we can have a productive conversation. All right, number four and the last one is contempt. Contempt is the most dangerous one of all of the four horsemen. At minimum, it's very mean, and at worst, it's actually emotional abuse. So according to Gottman's research, contempt has shown to be the biggest indicator of divorce. Okay, the biggest one. It also has been connected to health issues for the partner the contempt is directed toward, and even includes a lower immune system. So contempt is really, really strong. What is contempt? Contempt is criticism supercharged because it takes a one-up position of superiority. Superiority. It's a tough word. When people have contempt, they are expressing their discontent by utilizing shame and mean-spirited sarcasm to put someone down. You can notice contempt on someone's face when they move one side of their face up. You know, like a what? Like, if that makes sense, like sort of making fun of the other person, just like feeling like you're the one above them and they're just like the lowest of low. Let me give you a better example. So a complaint would be, I'm so tired at the end of the day and it is so frustrating for me to walk into a sink full of dishes. Yeah, I already said that one. Then criticism. I'm so tired and you never care about that. You never care about me. You always leave the dishes. I always have to do them. Blah, blah, blah. That's criticism. And now contempt is like criticism on steroids. Yeah. Contempt is, oh, of course, I walk into a filthy house after a long day. What else would you expect? What else would I expect from someone like you? I should have known when I met your family how lazy you'd be. You're a disgrace. Okay, do you guys hear that? I definitely met people who are contempting like that. I don't know if that's the word, contempting, who have a lot of contempt like that. And yeah, contempt is developed through a long-standing resentment. Some people learn to be contemptuous is the word. Some people learn to be contemptuous because they saw their caregivers utilize contempt in conflict. Like I said, if you see it when you're little that your parents are doing it, you're more likely to do it as well, because that's what you kind of think is normal and that's your go-to when you're upset. For others, contempt has developed within the relationship in response to long-standing resentment or betrayal or just issues that have not been worked through. Yeah, so rather than utilizing contempt, you'll need to work on building new communication skills to discuss your upset feelings. And specifically, you'll need to learn to talk about yourself rather than the other person when in conflict. Really always tying it back to how you're actually feeling, not how the other person is making you feel. No, that's blame. Nobody likes to be blamed. Yeah, just like say like, I'm noticing I'm feeling really frustrated right now. Yeah, because that's true to you. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah, just the ultimate goal is to be able to use gentle startup. But at first you might just focus on being able to narrate your inner world instead of attacking the other person. So right now that might be a little bit challenging to completely change over to that, but it might sound something like, right now, I can feel myself being really, really angry. I want to say so many angry things at you, but I know that it won't go well, and I really need us to find a solution on how to fix this. You know, I can feel how angry this is, but you're not being mean towards the other person. Like, you're not being just directing your anger towards the other person and just bringing them down, because I actually have this family member who just gets triggered so often, and it's just like so unpredictable when they're gonna get triggered, but it's just like multiple times a day, and they'll get like mean, you know? Like, for example, I was talking to them on the phone and we were discussing where we're gonna meet, and I said a street wrong, it didn't really matter, whatever, but this person says, if you ever listened to someone else, not just yourself, then you would know that this is not the right street, blah blah blah. But it's just like intentionally said to hurt me, you know? So that's contempt, and that's just like so hurtful for the person who is, you know, who that is directed at, and so unnecessary. Yeah, so that's the four horsemen. And like I said at the beginning, everyone is bound to use one or more of the four horsemen at some point in their relationship. And that's normal. And that's fine because we're human. And as you get better at identifying them, you'll be able to repair them in the moment so that your conversations can actually move forward. So for example, if you notice your partner utilizing one of the four horsemen, let them know gently and ask them to try again. Maybe let them listen to this podcast or even read the book. The book is absolutely great. You can read the book. And if you catch yourself using the four horsemen, just apologize and try again, because we're human and nobody's going to be perfect. But really the most admirable thing, at least for me, is that people actually try to make a change and they are able to say sorry and, hey, I made a mistake. Let me try again. You know? So, trying to see if I want to talk about anything else here. It's just, communication is key in relationships, and this is a big thing that makes conflict really painful. What can make conflict really painful? So, yeah, definitely if you realize that you or your partner do any of those, it's definitely great to work on it and try to have respectful discussions. We don't even call it like fights with Axel. We don't have fights, because that's like, see, the word fight makes you feel like you're actually like fighting, like if we were like boxing together or something. Whereas what we want are respected discussions, and it happens often that both of us are very triggered and angry at each other, usually for really silly small things. But it does happen, and it's so nice that we can come together and talk about it. Again, not always, because we're human and sometimes some of the four horsemen pop up, but like 99% we have a respectful discussion and try to find a solution of how to move forward. And I think that's beautiful. And it wasn't always like that. So we're definitely not some superhumans that were born with that. And it's definitely something everyone can develop. So that's why I'm sharing it with you, because it changed my life. So yeah, that's it for today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. If you did, then please leave a review. Let me know how you liked it. Leave how many stars you want. And you can also let me know on Instagram. I love reading your messages. And you can also let me know what you'd like to hear in the future. I hope you have a beautiful week, and I'll see you next week. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Glow Podcast. If you enjoyed it, then please don't forget to leave a review and share it with a friend that you think might benefit from listening to this episode. Have a beautiful, beautiful day, and I'll see you in the next episode.